Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. This is Glenn Greenwich coming from New York City. And we have a very, very special guest tonight. And we'll be introducing her in a second. Author of a very interesting book and also part of the Gold Rush Women's Conference that's taking place this weekend. So it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to get started with the Declaration of the International Black Summit, and then we'll go from there, do a little housekeeping, and then bring on our guest. And our guest tonight is Sunny Bohan. All right. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversations of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. March 9th, 2014. New York City. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Again, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. So we also want to let you know that we are going to Belize City, in Central America this year for our annual event, which takes place July 31st to August 3rd. And if you'd like further details, please check out our website, www.blacksummit.org. So that's a little of the information. Wanted to bring Ms. Henrietta Byrd to the call. Henrietta, are you there? Okay.
I'm here, Glenn.
Okay. Good. Well, welcome. How is the Gold Rush Women's Conference going?
Oh, my God. What a weekend. I mean, I just, Lord, have mercy. It was so everything. You know, I can't even put it in words yet, because it was I so needed to get away for the weekend.
Oh, okay.
And it was just everything. It was enlightening. It was empowering. It was expanding, like it expanded your conversation, you know, your conversation about who you are, you know, or let me just speak for myself. I expanded my conversation of who I am. I met the most wonderful people, and one of them, you know, is our guest tonight. just incredible women from, I think she said 12 different states. I think that was the number, but it was held in a west suburb of Chicago, Lisle, Illinois. And it's, you know, straight west from Chicago. It's past Oak Brook, and it's close to Naperville, Glenn, if you're familiar with Naperville or Aurora. You know, it was kind of on the way there.
Aurora, sure.
Okay, and it was just wonderful. The hotel was nice. The people who served us in the hotel were very, very nice. And the women were just incredible. Just, you know, the vendors, there were people there, you know, selling whatever, you know, whatever, jewelry, clothing, canned goods, books, you know, just different things, you know, different nutritional this and nutritional that. And as you know, Cheryl Lee Ralph was the keynote speaker yesterday. And she's an incredible advocate for women. You know, just I just had no idea the kind of work that she was doing. I only knew her to be, you know, one of the original Dream Girls and, you know, Moesha's mom on television and, you know, those kinds of things where she's a beautiful spirit. She's a beautiful, physically beautiful person, but she's a beautiful spirit as well. And she came in singing and speaking and waking us up to different things about what we are to do as women and what we are not to do, you know, so that we won't continue any negative cycles that we may have started. You know, that's kind of, I guess, how I would sum it up. It was just an incredible weekend. Dr. Jacqueline Atkins is the host of it, of the weekend. She's been doing it for 8 years now. And she was, you know, we had her on the show a couple of weeks ago. And it was just wonderful. If there was any little thing that people did not like, the next day it was corrected, you know, with the hotel. I heard somebody complain about what kind of lettuce we had at lunch yesterday, and today we had a totally different kind of lettuce. I mean, they were just, it was just whatever you asked for, it was just done. It was just, the consciousness was so very nice. The workshops were very, you know, very nice. I attended every workshop. There's a gold and in their heels was one workshop. Another workshop was a blueprint for gold, where you actually, you know, they gave you this blueprint of how to achieve, how to go inside of yourself and discover the gold within you. That was the basis of the entire weekend. And
how was the workshop Open Up Your Chakras, Radiate Your Greatness? Was that good too?
Yeah, that was a really good workshop also. A really, really good workshop. Every one of them.
The one you were talking about was the Blueprint to Gold Status.
Yes.
Okay.
That was good. Yeah, that workshop, you had to write an I am statement, but it was the way that you had to write the statement that was so unique. You know, you could attend the workshops on Friday and Saturday afternoon. Saturday afternoon, Friday night, there was a I'm trying to see what it was, more like not so much
a banquet, but there were these, you know, like general sessions. And so Friday night there was a general session, and Saturday night there was a pajama party.
Oh my goodness.
And just, I mean, you just like learn. You're just unfolding all day long. You're learning something about yourself. And then in the evening, you just had a really, really good time. And then you go back the next morning. And it was just really nice. Let's ask, because Sunny was there, so she can talk about it as well.
Okay.
Yes, it was a wonderful experience. Am I on?
Yes.
Yes, you Hello? Are, Sunny.
Okay,
welcome,
great.
Welcome to the call. And for our listeners, this is Sunny Boehm, the author of Mirror, Mirror, The Law of Attraction in Action.
In action.
Yes, I am an action person, and I am loving the action that was happening this weekend because talk about incredible, warm, connected people. This was the first time I'd ever gone to this particular conference, and the people were so warm and welcoming and connected, supportive, positive. Just the energy was fabulous. The Friday night was a reception, you know, just finger foods, but we were mingling and chatting and talking, and whether you were brand new to the group or you'd been coming for the last 8 years, you didn't feel like an outsider. No, I didn't feel like an outsider. It was very inclusive and very warm, and they've asked me to be on the program again next year, and I'm like, yes, I love this group. It was great fun.
Okay.
That's great fun.
It was really, really nice.
I'd like to hear a little bit about your book.
Well, I'd be delighted to talk about it. The book was birthed because of I have always been an achiever, learning new things, growing, building businesses, and all of a sudden, and I'd been very successful, and when I was 30, I had a terrible car accident that nearly killed me, and I had an out-of-body experience, and I was told that what I was doing was still too limiting, even though I'd just gotten my master's in psychology. I was like, what else? But I was told that what I was supposed to be doing is helping people find their soul's purpose. Because the only way people can be truly happy in their lives is when they really get to know, what's my purpose here, and how can I be of use in this flow of life. What's every one of us is made unique, has given a very unique set of gifts and talents, and no one is like us. But it's claiming it. It's saying, oh, I get it. I am good enough right now, and all I really have to do is what I'm good at, and I am already a contribution to the world. And so after the car accident, I went unconscious. I was unconscious for quite a long time, and when I woke up, I was told that I had very serious back injuries and would probably never be able to ballroom dance again. And I used to be a competitive ballroom dancer. Anything you see on Dancing with the Stars, drops, kicks, flips, aerials, any of that, I used to do. And suddenly I was told I couldn't do any of it because I had some major back injuries. And so that's the first chapter in the book. And what happened is I have learned to totally believe that we have the power inside every one of us. Yes, we may need doctors to help, but the most powerful thing that we can do is say, yes, bring it on. God is the source. God is the source of all healing, all health, all well-being, and all goodness. And I bring it in now. I bring it into every cell in my body is being healed right now, is being touched right now by God and being healed. And so I did that for a number of hours after they told me about my back injuries and showed me the x-ray that there were three major areas and they were calling a surgeon to come in. And by the time the surgeon got there and said, well, okay, we're going to have to operate and let's take a look at this, and I said, okay, take another x-ray. And they took another x-ray and I was okay. And so that was one step in totally believing, you know, the law of attraction in action. Totally believing makes it shift. Just thinking about it doesn't make it shift. Just going, oh, well, I read this book about this, and I wonder if that works. I was forced with a situation that said, well, in 5 hours, I can either totally give my power away to these doctors who say, I got to cut you up and do this, this, and this, or I can see what God can do in between in the next 5 hours. But I knew I had to totally, totally go into alignment with divine force. So, like I said, that was the first chapter in the book, and then when I found out that I could still walk and move, I went, you know what, I was almost dead, and I gotta go to Europe. I gotta see some of the world. And so the rest of the book is traveling to Europe. I sold my house. It did take me about a year to put my body back together. I mean, there was very bad muscle damage, and, you know, it wasn't like everything was totally touched, you know, and totally miraculously healed. But what they thought they were going to have to do surgery on. You know, it took months of chiropractic, and I had to shift things in my life, even though I was very successful and really liked everything about my life the day before. Suddenly, there was a bigger picture. There was a bigger dream. There was a bigger vision that I had to go on this journey to find my true soul's purpose. And so I sold my dream house, and I was living in my dream house. And took the money. I told my banker to only let me have $1,000 a month, and I took no credit cards, and this was in 1983, so there were no cell phones, and packed one 40-pound suitcase, gave away, I owned a four-bedroom home, and all the closets were filled with my clothes, and I gave it all away. So it was a total trust walk, and like, okay, where do you want me, God, and what do you want me to do? And I bought a one-way ticket to London and broke out in hives all over my body because I was totally terrified. Totally terrified. So the whole book.
What year was this, Sonny? What year?
83.
Okay.
1983. And so the whole book is about, yes, the fears come up, and then what do you do with them? Literally shared each mind process that I went through to overcome being in Italy, being in Germany, being in Belgium, being in countries where I didn't speak one word of their language and had to figure out ways to get my needs met. And every morning I would go, okay, what do I need today? And I'd write down messages to God, this is what I need today, and watch how it would show up. And it usually wasn't ever anything to do with money. I would stay in people's homes sometimes. I would get bed and breakfast. And at that time, you could get bed and breakfast for $20 to $25 a night. And they were nice. Certainly not four-star, but they were clean and nice. You were going to ask a question, Glenn?
Well, what I was left with is that every day was truly an adventure for you then.
Yes, for 3 years. Every day was a total adventure, a total walk with God, a total trust. It was a trust walk.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I think it's important for our listeners to really get a sense of it. And some of the work that we do here at the International Black Summit is around the vision and purpose and getting clarity around your purpose. What did you get first? What did you work on first? I mean, obviously after the accident, you were focused on, you know, just getting well initially.
Yeah.
But then after that, where did those things fit in?
What I got first is when you're dealing with healing your body, you don't have a moment You don't have the luxury of a moment of negative thought.
When you're
healing your body, you have to stay away from negative people. You have to stay away from, oh, poor you. Oh, honey. Oh, yeah, I had something like that. Oh, that was awful. Oh, it took me. No, you've got to stay away.
Get away from those pity parties, huh?
Pity parties. Oh, go away. You bother me. Yes. So, while they might think they're doing well, they're draining energy. So for the next year, I saw in that moment when I was out of my body, I saw totally clearly what God wanted me to do went next. And there was no way anybody in my family or my close people around me could understand, because I was told I had to get away in order to find my purpose. I had to get away from everybody that I knew because they wouldn't understand and they'd hold me back.
Oh, man.
It was hard, honey. I'll tell you. I really couldn't even tell my closest friends because they wouldn't want me to leave. And I'm giving away all my clothes, and I'm going, oh, I'm just changing, and, you know, I've gained a few pounds. And, you know, I was a size 4 when I had the car accident, and when you can't ballroom dance 4 hours a day anymore, boy, I tell you, the weight finds you really quick. And so my weight was changing, so I'd tell my friends, oh, you know, I'm not dancing anymore, so I'm just, here, take this carload of clothes. Here, oh, you're a size 4, here's 22 dresses and 6 pairs of shoes. Go ahead, take those. I don't need them anymore. And it was like just releasing, but I had to not get into any of the drama about it. I had to stay very light, very cool, releasing. I couldn't let anybody dump their drama on me because I had to be continually focusing. I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the light. I am totally trusting that I am being told what to do, and it will all work out. And I really never told anybody.
How did you do that? How did you actually do that? Was it through meditation? Was it through diet? Share with our listeners what was the process that you used to, and we call it in the International Black Summit, clearing yourself. So you're clearing yourself, getting rid of all of those things that you don't want. What was your process?
Well, what I had just completed was getting my master's in spiritual psychology. Now, traditional psychology curriculum. Spiritual psychology is looking at all aspects of your life and using meditation and using positive affirmations and mantras and drumming and looking at the maladies, the dysfunctions of the mind, learning things about traditional psychology, but also the whole curriculum in the what they call spiritual psychology or integrative psychology is looking at the wholeness of the person. So I'd already been spending 4 years shifting and being with a pretty closed group of people. There were 30 of us in this training. And so we'd already been spending a lot of time juicing, eating the cleanest food that we could. And back in 1983, you didn't even hear people talking about organic things. And yet we were as much as we could. We were sharing things. We'd grow things in our gardens. We'd share things with each other. It was a pretty close community. So I already had been working on evolving that aspect of myself and the fact that we'd been using these positive affirmations every single day in work that we did, in work with our clients, in work with our practice clients. So in this process of the clearing out process that year, I sold my house. And then I went and lived with a friend in Florida for a couple of months, and she had also been in this class with me. So she was the only one who could totally, and she used to live in Europe. So she was the only one that I could totally share this dream and this vision with, and because she was very worldly, I had never been on a city bus in my life. I had never been on a train in my life. I was 30. I had only been on a plane once in my life. I was totally terrified to travel alone. And it's like each step of the way I was gifted a person, usually a brand new person in my life or a person that I knew but I didn't know that they had this piece of the puzzle. And I watched. It was like angels came in, like walking across cobblestones in a river. As I would take the next step, somebody's hand was there to say, oh, I know about that. Let me help you through this piece of the puzzle.
Excellent.
So when I say it was a total trust walk that I am guided by God, I don't have to know everything before I take this journey, but I do have to trust, and I had to learn how to ask for what I needed, how to ask for what I wanted, how to get clear about what was the next step in my evolution. Does that make sense?
Excellent. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's fascinating that, so you were already on the journey through your studies.
Yeah.
That helped you to kind of propel you. So the accident actually forced you to get to the next level of study.
Catalyst. And luckily I had a wise person in my life who, like a day or two after the accident happened, all of the glass in my car was shattered. It imploded into the inside of the car, and it's safety glass, you know, but it's so unusual for a car, for every piece of glass to crumble. A drunk had run a red light and was probably going 60 miles an hour, didn't even have his lights on, and it was a snowy night, and there were two people stopped at a stoplight on my right side, and something just cautioned me. I took my foot off the gas, like, what's wrong with this? I had this sense, like, what's wrong? And I thought, no, there's two people stopped at the stoplight over there. There's one person stopped at the stoplight over there. Sonny, you've got the right-of-way. You've got the right-of-way. Go ahead. And then this drunk, who didn't have his lights on, passed the two people who were stopped at a red light and smashed into my car. Now, the most interesting thing about that is a week before this happened, I saw every single aspect of this accident in a dream. I saw the location. I knew what time of the morning it was going to be. Every single aspect I saw. And I woke up in the morning and I thought, oh my gosh, that was real. But okay, I'm just never going to be at 27th and Valete at 2 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't an area of town I ever went into. And, like, why would I ever go there? I just make sure I don't ever go there. And that particular night, a woman that I had met through a networking group invited me to a holiday party at her house. And because it was, and I'd never been in that area of Milwaukee, and when I left her house, it had been snowing, and the snow was wet, and it was sticking to the signs, so I couldn't see the street signs. I don't know how to explain it. Have you ever just had something that takes a hold of you and pulls you right into a situation? It was, you know, if you watch Star Trek, it was like a tractor beam.
Absolutely.
It was like an unstoppable, awful situation, but it catapulted me out of the box that I was living my life in. I was very successful in that box, but it was still a very tight box because I was told what I would do, what I needed to do. I was told how to do it. I did everything they told me to do, and I excelled at it, but I was still in a box. I wasn't experiencing the essence of my being. I was experiencing the excellence they expected of me. And God had bigger plans for me.
Absolutely. Let me hold it right there. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we've got a wonderful guest from the Gold Rush Women's Conference that took place in Chicago. We've got Sunny Boehm. She'll be returning in a second. Just wanted to let you know that if you wanted further information for any information about the International Black Summit, remember we're going to Belize City, which is in Central America this year. Please check out our website at www.blacksummit.org. And if you're looking to find out any additional information about the summit and the people who attend the summit, please, we invite you to take a look at the website to get as much information as you can. We do have prerequisites, and we have summit shares that occur, and we have community events. And just a reminder, we also have a youth summit. We have a youth summit, and we have a young adult summit that we just launched this past year in Ottawa, Canada. So we've got three areas for people to participate. So this is really about bringing your families. We have the youth summit, which is from 8 to 17. And then we have the adult summit, that's from 18 to 35. And then we have the adult summit, which if you're 18, you can participate in either the young adult summit or the adult summit, and that age is from 18 plus. So out into infinity. So those are the three areas that we have to participate. Please join us, and certainly, as I said, visit our website, and we'll get back to Sunny Boehm, the author of Mirror, Mirror, The Law of Attraction in Action. So, Sunny, if I, as a reader, what would I get out of your book? What would be the essence that the book would leave me? What would I get from reading your book?
All right. Well, one of the things is I'm the kind of person that doesn't like to just read books about theory.
Okay.
I like to read books where people, you hear a little bit about the theory, and then you see how to put it in action in your life.
Okay.
And so that's exactly why I wrote this book in this way, because it's an adventure. It's an adventure through seven countries. I went to many more countries, but this book is seven. And things that can happen, experiences, you know, like some many people on your show may have heard of Glastonbury in England and the famous tour, this meditation walk that you take up to the top of this very famous hill. And so I had personal experiences and met amazing people along the journey in very identifiable travel experiences that added to this is how the law of attraction brought this person into my life to expand me, to teach me some new lessons, to show me why I needed to be at the tour in Glastonbury, or why I needed to be at Stonehenge, or how the heck I got to Sweden, and what I experienced about a socialized society. Sweden has a totally socialistic society, which means that everybody earns the same amount and everybody gets 6 weeks of vacation each year, and there is no such thing as driving if you're drunk. So everybody has big parties in their backyard, and then everybody just sleeps overnight.
I'm actually familiar with that. I spent the summer in Sweden. I've got some cousins in Sweden that I visited additionally. So,
Go ahead.
I've been to those kind of parties where everybody is sloshed, but nobody drives. You're right.
Everybody
will crash out on the floor and just relax till the next day. Nobody even thinks about driving
nope.
drunk. Nope. It's pretty amazing.
And then, and you wake up in the morning and everybody's just like brothers and sisters, you know?
Yeah.
It's like this instant family.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get smashed out of their mind obnoxious drunk. They get really happy drunk, and they play music and have cookouts, right? And then they just go to sleep. And I've never been a drinker. I'm way too happy in life anyway. And if I drink, I just go to sleep within 15 minutes. So my friends tell me I'm more fun when I'm awake. Here I am, totally stone cold sober, observing all of this. So I am in these countries as the observer, but also closely, totally in touch with, okay, God, what do you want me, why do you want me to be here? Like, the way I got to Sweden is I had been in Mallorca, the island of Mallorca, off the coast of Spain. And I had had a wonderful time there. Magical, fabulous things were happening every single day. But it's a party place. The energy is real frenetic. Everybody just, the Europeans take at least 4 weeks to six weeks vacation. And these people really know how to vacation and party and let their hair down. And so the energy was pretty frenetic. And I remember praying and I said, okay, God, this was really fun. I really met some wonderful people and had a great time. And I thank you for this perfect gift, this perfect experience in Mallorca. But now I need something quieter. I'd like to be with family. I want backyard cookouts, and I just want to hang out and not be in party places. I want things to be quieter. I need a safe space just to do some reading. But I knew I shouldn't come back home. Part of me thought, well, maybe I should go back home. But then I thought, why? My family doesn't cook out and hang out in the backyard. that would be ridiculous. So I clearly wrote that down in my diary in the morning that's what I needed. And then I realized that day that the hotel next to me was all Swedish people, and the hotel next to that was all people from Denmark. And the hotel, it's like this hotel row was specially filled by travel agencies with people from their country. And I went, oh, God, was I ever silly? If I had just gone to some of these other hotels, I would have met people from other countries and expanded my experience. And then I went, okay, God, I'm sorry, I don't mean to complain. I thank you for this perfect experience. And the next experience I need is quiet and calm and backyard sing-alongs. And so I went to the airport, and I had been swimming, and my hair looked ratty. I hadn't fixed my hair, and I you know, just threw on some clothes over my swimming suit because I wanted to squeeze every last minute of fun out of that day. And I'm in the line waiting, you know, pushing my suitcase ahead of me. And when it came time for me to check, to lift my suitcase, a man behind me said, can I lift that for you? And I looked at him, and I thought, okay. And so he put the suitcase on, and while we were waiting for the tickets and stuff, he said, you know, he asked me where I was going to, and he said he was from Sweden. And he and the four people with him were from Sweden, and he said, do you have some time for coffee? Well, you know, we were still waiting for the plane. And I said, well, sure. And so I sat down with these people from Sweden, and it turned out that they still had two more weeks of vacation, and they wanted to practice their English, and they invited me to come and stay with them in Sweden.
That sounds so Swedish.
Yes, it's so Swedish. And it was this perfect experience of hanging out at home and having people wander over day or night and bring their guitars and bring their, you know, whatever food they had. And it was the best experience I could ever imagine. And it's because I wrote it down that God just went, oh, here, how do you like this? And every single month, every single trip, And also, these Swedish people wouldn't let me spend a cent. They would not let me a cent of my money. I would try. And they're like, oh, no, you're not spending anything. We wanted to practice our English. You're here. You're making us practice English, and we love it. So you're our guest. Like, thank
yeah.
you, God.
That's wonderful. That is so wonderful. One of the things that I am just left with. Now, some of our listeners may not have the opportunity that you had to do the traveling. Is there a way for them to kind of get the essence of the vision and the purpose through books and you know, obviously the experience that you provide in your book helps them to see some of the things that will support them in having a life that they love. Are there any other things that you can suggest that you would let people know that you've learned as part of your journey?
Well, as you asked me the question before, you know, what they would get out of this book, number one, they will get a total cultural awakening and experience by the way that I write and really sharing all of these cultural experiences. So people tell me when they read my book and they'll say, I felt like I was right there with you. I could
okay.
feel it. I could experience it. I felt like I was on a vacation with you. And that's the way I write. It's just like, here we are in this moment, and this is what's going on in this moment, which is very different than a travel log where it says, now go visit this building and then get on the tour bus. And, you know, it's I'm really into learning what makes people tick and the cultural experiences. So people get a cultural experience from reading my books. Now, when you say, how else could they get that? Well, of course, they can watch all these wonderful travelogue DVDs that you can get from the library for absolutely no money. The Rick Steves travelogues are absolutely wonderful. So they could read the chapter on Sweden and then get a Rick Steves travelogue and then watch that, because they'll get to see in the travelogue cities that I talked about and things that happened. And then, like just last year, I ended up going to Spain to an English immersion school. And if people contact me, I can tell you how to get connected to this kind of thing. I went free. I stayed for 2 weeks at a fabulous resort. There were 25 English-speaking people. There were 25 Spanish-speaking people. They wanted to improve their English. So the Anglos, the English-speaking people, some from Scotland, some from England, some from America, some from Australia, so I continued to get to meet people from all over the world. We spent these 2 weeks at a beautiful resort in Spain, and all I had to pay was my airfare. Our fabulous food was provided. We could go for walks when we had conversations. We did one-on-one conversations all day long. So the truth is I never talked so much in my whole life. Because it was from 9 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. But every hour you change and you're having a conversation with someone new. So I found that if I just asked the person about their travel adventures, and I talked about my travel adventures, everybody was really happy, because we are happy when we're talking about our travel adventures. And I had a wonderful time, and we could go on walks, we could sit in the pool and have our conversations. Of course, there were wonderful conversations over dinners, and so this is a way, if they contact me at sunnyboehm@hotmail.com, I'll send them information to hook up, because they're always looking for Anglos, and they have this particular company does it 42 weeks out of the year, so they are looking for 25 volunteers every week of the year, just about, and they do it in Ireland, Germany, and 7 different locations in Spain.
Wow.
So does that answer your question?
Oh, my goodness, yes. That is an awesome opportunity.
Because I'm a life coach. Yeah, it's a fabulous opportunity. I'm a life coach, so I every year I do something completely different than I've ever done before so that I can be a better coach, so that I've had amazing experiences. And when somebody comes to me and says, well, I'd like to learn how to be able to travel and not have to have any money, okay, I can tell you. Years ago, I used to be a courier. Before they had fax machines and emails, I would get paid to fly over to Paris, spend the weekend in Paris. They'd pay for my flight back. They'd give me $35 a day per diem, and all I had to do was take a package.
Yeah, I've actually done that as well.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I can tell you all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I've done that. Actually, I did that on a 10-day trip into Belgium, and then on that trip I bought a Eurail pass, and I went into Sweden to visit some of my relatives and ended up meeting up my dad, and went all the way to Sweden and came back. So,
yeah.
So I remember those
fabulous opportunities. Oh, and
that's
Glenn.
Awesome. Let me ask a question right here, Glenn.
Sure.
Want you to know, I want Sunny to share with you where she came from, where she lived before, like what kind of life you had before that accident.
Well, before that accident, I was raised on a farm. I'd never been on a city bus in my life. I'd never been on a train in my life. I'd only been on a plane once in my life. I did do very, very, very well in business. I got in. I was director of volunteer programs for the American Red Cross for a number of years, and so I had to learn how to be really good at listening to people's hearts. This person came to me and said, I want to be a volunteer. But I had to know that there was something that person needed to be satisfied within them so that I could guide them to a satisfying volunteer situation, because then they would be nourished.
Mm.
And so learning that sensitivity when I was in my 20s, how to be sensitive to what is the emotional nourishment that a person needs, whether they get paid for it or not, has been so important. And Henrietta, did you, then I became very successful because American Red Cross only paid me $400 an hour. I mean, $400 a month.
Okay.
So I had to make some extra money, so I got involved with Mary Kay Cosmetics, and within a year I became a director and won my pink car, so I had done very, very well with that company. And then I was studying to get my spiritual psychology and Reiki master degree, and then my life changed because, you know, I could no longer fit in the old box.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone as far as I could go, and then we get catapult. So when people are feeling what I call divine discontent, when they're feeling itchy and edgy and like, ooh, I don't know if I want to stay in this job anymore. I don't know. You know, I'm like not liking this. That is the perfect time for them to start looking. What would I rather be doing? How could my life be better? What would I rather be doing? And unfortunately, so many people spend way too much time. They might spend 5 years complaining about the job that they're in instead of asking themselves this really vital question, what would I rather be doing? When they start asking, what would I rather be doing, and start maybe volunteering, doing something with children or doing something with animals, you know, then they can begin to find themselves in new ways. And I guess that's the period that I was in. I was really in this divine discontent period that was like, boy, I've got it so good in this career that I am in. It's so fabulous, and I love everything about it, but I feel like it's not all God wants me to do yet. And
mm-hmm.
then I had the accident, and then it all had to change. So sometimes sometimes the worst things that happen to us can be the greatest blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can. Question for you, because in finding out and having people find out what would they love to do next, is really searching for the purpose, getting in touch with what is it that really fulfills them, that has them be nurtured.
Yes, yes. And I think the best thing that could happen for the entire world is if our TV sets broke down for 6 months and our internets broke down for 6 months and we only had our own minds and started asking, how can my life be better and how can I be of greater purpose in the world? And every one of the world's problems and the discontent would be resolved.
Oh, so true, so true. Because if we can begin to focus on the things that are really important to us, and not the physical things, but the spiritual things.
Right. Because people use TV and the internet as a distraction, but really it numbs us. It just makes us brain numb. And we don't ask the important and deep questions that can bring us the greatest joy.
Seems to me that you started your journey long, long before your accident.
Yes, dear.
It does. It really does.
I've been a seeker all my life, all my life. Yeah. When I was 20, I was reading the Urantia books, and, my friends were out drinking and partying. I was searching. I wanted to know God, and I wanted to know, and I have a master's in world religions. I am always studying, and I just achieved my full ministry degree because I've an interfaith ministry because I love honoring every way that people experience God. I am open to all of it. And my second book that she hasn't told you about yet is called Diary of a Turkish Wedding.
Mm.
Because God challenged me with marrying a Muslim and going and living in a Muslim country, even though I have a very expanded and all-inclusive mind about religion. And then he tried to convert me and bury me. and that was an interesting experience. But I still saw the good that in the way that people were living. I was living in a village that was only 22 homes and would make our people on welfare look like millionaires.
Really?
And yet I saw the good. I connected. The only thing that I could do was connect on a heart level because not mm-hmm. one of these women spoke any English. And
oh,
I'm
right.
highly intuitive, so it all had to be heart.
Well, it sounds like, I'm a Reiki master as well, and so that attunement and connection is a very powerful way of relating to people, relating to the energy and to relating to their physical and spiritual being. And so that's what you speak to is very, very powerful, and I just want to underline that so our listeners can really get that is an important part of your self-discovery, being in touch with that energy and the spirituality. Now, we've got the pure connection. We've got about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to, where can we get your books again, give us your contact information. I think, as you said, at hotmail.com, your name, hotmail.com.
It's S-U-N-N-I, S as in Sam, U-N-N-I, Boehm, B as in boy, O-E-H, M as in Mary E, Sunny Boehm, at hotmail.com. My website is www.sunnyboehm.com. They can order the books directly from me, or they can also look on Amazon. And the books are called Mirror, Mirror by Sunny Boehm and Diary of a Turkish Wedding. And so, again, it's sunnyboehm@hotmail.com. And my phone number, if I can give that, is 414-482-8255. 8971. I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but I have clients all over the world because of the wonders of Skype and the internet, and I'm always helping people break through free and get out of their boxes to find, oh boy, more joy.
And anything, any new thoughts or things on the horizon that you're working on? You want to share with us?
Oh, I loved the Gold Rush, Reverend Jackie Atkins did invite me to come back and be a speaker next year. So the next Gold Rush conference is going to be next year, March, I think, 14th.
13th.
March 13th, okay. So
yeah.
People can look into that and look in, just look on the Gold Rush conference. And find out more information about that. I'd like to add something about Belize. I was in Belize last year for your trip and your people. It's fabulous. You know what? What a wonderful place to be this winter when the weather's so awful. But there's a fabulous ancient ruin site very near there in Tulum that they must see. And just a half hour away from Belize, I stayed at a place called Laguna Bacalar. And it is the purest, cleanest lake on the planet. It is so pristine, crystal clear, and white sand on the bottom. And it's a not a very touristed town, but completely wonderful. So if you get a chance on your trip, oh, and there's fabulous places to go snorkeling and scuba diving there, too. So I hope that everybody will take advantage of being nourished in the Yucatan.
Very good. Very good. Well, it's been a great pleasure, and we'd certainly love to have you back sometime in the near future just to continue the conversation. It's a great conversation, and, you know, thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted, and I'd be delighted to be on again and just sharing the light in any way that I can and helping people blow the sides out of their boxes.
All right. Loving that, loving that.
Thank you, Henrietta. All right.
Sonny, thank you so much. It was so nice meeting you, and it was so nice being with you this weekend. It was really, really enjoyable, you know.
Yeah,
great. And thank you. You were one of the first faces that I remember seeing, you know, like focusing in on when I walked out of the room today. And because that was a real experience for me today.
Oh, you were wonderful. We really enjoyed you. You were just delightful.
So don't forget, the Gold Rush Women's Conference will be next year, the 13th, March 13th. If you missed this year, check out the website and keep getting updates on what's happening. So you don't want to miss it next year. It was a wonderful experience. Even though I didn't attend, I can get it from the organizers and certainly from both Henrietta and Sonny on what took place. So I'm very excited that we're able to connect with the Gold Rush Women's Conference, and certainly we'll be having them back on our show in the very, very near future. Henrietta?
Glenn, thank you. Thank you very much. As always, you know, go to blacksummit.org and see how you feel. You know, we invite everyone to join us in Belize and continue this conversation. The Gold Rush Women's Conference was kind of like a step toward the International Black Summit annual event. It was like I would say our community summits, you know, like that. And it just had me so present to what we're going to experience in Belize. And so don't miss this year's annual summit event. Go to blacksummit.org, ask your questions, send your emails, and join us the first weekend in August every year. But this year, of course, it's in Belize. Glenn, thank you so much. for this interview. Sunny, thank you. And I know you'll be back with us soon. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, to give us give us updates about your life. I really want you to meet Chakaysha. Chakaysha is our roving reporter, and she travels like you do. She lives someplace different every 3 months. And so I'm going to connect the two of you all because I'm sure you have lots of stories to share. So thank you again. And, Glenn, thank you. And that's it for tonight. God bless.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
And, Sunny, we invite you to go to the website and register as well as the social website and let people know a little bit about what you're up to.
Great. What's the website?
www.blacksummit.org.
.org. Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay.
Will do. Yep.
All right. Very good.
Thank
well,
you.
On that
all
note,
right.
Thank you all for being on the show. Thank you for listening. Good night and God bless. And we'll see you next week. Please.
Good night.
Peace and bless. Good night.
Good night.